Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of Chef?
I loved it.
I am thrilled to hear that. It is one of my favorite foodie movies.
My only complaint was I was so damn hungry afterwards. And it's like 11:30 at night. And not only is it 11:30 at night, nothing's open, but there's even during normal business hours, there's nowhere near me where I could get a Cubano.
I know.
No food trucks, no restaurants, no nothing. I'm just like, ah.
It just hurts a little bit, doesn't it?
It does.
And throughout the whole movie, it's like a love letter to food. Like
every
time they show it, they just make it look so good.
I know.
So
I'm hungry thinking about it.
Yeah. So for those tuning in who didn't read the title on the podcast, we are Watch What, and today we're talking about the movie Chef, Jon Favreau's attempt to go back to basics by going to culinary school and then directing and starring in a movie about a chef.
Yep.
So Carl Casper, that's Jon Favreau's character, he's the head chef of a restaurant. We don't know how popular the restaurant is. We just know that he, as a chef, is quite popular. And it opens up with him like doing the shopping and doing the cooking and all this cool stuff. Because tonight there is supposed to be a critic and food blogger coming to the restaurant. And he has created a brand new menu in order to showcase his talents and abilities. And then the owner of the restaurant comes in and says, nah, make the stuff we've been making forever. But we can do better. Cook your classics. You can't beat a classic.
Yeah, he makes a Rolling Stones analogy at one point. It's like, you know, you'd be mad if you go see a Stones concert and Jagger doesn't sing Satisfaction, right?
No, because they have they have so many songs. I don't need Satisfaction. You know, yeah. Play me a Paint It Black.
There you go.
Anyway, so he does. He gives in to his boss, the owner of the restaurant, and the review is scathing. Scathing is a good word. And personally insulting. Like, it's not enough that he says that the food is bad, but then goes after the character and the person of the chef.
Yep.
Which then opens up to Carl getting on Twitter, having his son help him get on Twitter because he learns that that's where some of this review stuff is, blah, blah, blah. Being on Twitter, he fires off his first tweet, which goes viral.
He thinks it's a private message.
He thinks it's private, and it's not. And what he's effectively done is he challenges the critic to a rematch, as though it were some kind of competition, where he has created a brand new menu and the owner of the restaurant comes in and says, make your classics. That's what people come here for. We have a full restaurant every night to eat the food that you make. And this doesn't work for him anymore. And he leaves. Carl leaves the restaurant. Don't know if at that point he quits or if he's fired. At that particular moment, he just leaves. He's not going to make the old food.
Yep.
And so the critic comes and is given just the old menu all over again. You know? And who plays him? Oliver Platt plays the critic. And there is no one who is able to be more smarmy, you know, in that kind of way, I think, than Oliver Platt. He just plays it so well. Like, he's getting served this same food, and you watch the light kind of die in his eyes a little bit at first, and then just kind of chuckles at the absurdity of it. But there's this wonderful moment while he's being served all this old food, these classic dishes, that it's cutting also to Jon Favreau, to Carl in his own home kitchen, cooking the food that he would have served.
Yep.
My God, does it look amazing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it would taste amazing, but it looks amazing. And just as he's about, you know, everything's getting done, he goes to the restaurant. Carl goes back to the restaurant to confront the critic, Ramsay, and effectively has a meltdown in the restaurant where he ridicules and really kind of berates this critic. You know, you create nothing, you tear down, you hurt people in order for entertainment.
Yep. You know?
That is captured on video, and that goes viral. And
if he wasn't fired before, he certainly is now.
Yes. And it leaves him effectively unemployable because no one's going to hire a chef who goes after a customer or a critic like that.
Yep.
So while this is going on, we also get a sense that Carl's got kind of a strained relationship with his ex-wife and his son. And because he's not able to get any work, his ex-wife convinces him to come with her back to Miami. They're from Miami. To come back to Miami and basically take care of the son. You know, I've got work to do. He's coming back. You know, he's going to be with his grandpa for a little while, but he needs somebody. Biggest gripe at this point of the movie is that he says, "You want me to be the nanny?" And it's like, no, bro, you the dad.
Yeah.
You parent that kid.
Yep.
While there, we find out that it's kind of a really ridiculous way of getting Carl an old dilapidated food truck given to him by Robert Downey Jr., the ex-husband of his ex-wife.
Yeah, his ex-wife's ex-husband.
And this is really where the movie picks up and becomes less of that downer. And it's not so much that it was a downer before, but it's like, man, is this going to be this indie movie feel rough the whole way? And it's like, no, because then we start having fun where he's cleaning out the truck and John Leguizamo, his sous chef from the restaurant, quits and comes to Florida with him. And I have a cousin. He'll hook us up, you know, with a sound system and a paint job on the truck. And he takes his son to the, you know, to the kitchen store, basically, and teaches him, you know, this is what we're looking for when it comes to pans and when it comes to the cookware and so forth. Buys his son a chef knife and has this really excellent quiet moment. And I don't know if you caught it, where he's like, this is a chef's knife. It does not belong to the kitchen. It belongs to the chef. Keep it sharp and it'll serve you well. You know, it's just, this is something for you. And it's, I got the sense in that it's one of the few times that he's given his son something that he's passionate about.
Yes.
You know, his son has been kind of distant because his son's into the tech things, you know, the Twitter and the social media and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And this is, they're starting to connect in a very real way in this moment. And what do? They get back. They can't load the truck. And so his sous chef, John Leguizamo, basically hollers in Spanish to a bunch of the Spanish or Cuban workers next door. And they come over and lift all the stuff in on the promise that they'll be able to eat some Cubanos.
Yep.
And some yucca fries and so forth. And that starts the trip from driving this truck from Miami back to L.A., making sure to make stops in New Orleans and Austin, Texas, where across the board, they're just having fun. Uh-huh. You know, they're working and they're having fun. And Carl's rediscovering his love of food and cooking for other people, you know, really diving into the passion of it. And it's amazing. The arc of it is amazing. And then at the end, you know, it's one of those where the good guys win and you find out that there's not really bad guys in it. You know, the bad guy was his lost passion, because even the critic is just like, when you served me that same food, it was beneath you. You were great. And then you just rested on it, you know, and it ends with the critic basically bankrolling a new restaurant with Carl having creative control to make your food, because this food truck thing's amazing and I'm going to eat more of it. So do that in a restaurant. Other part that was just kind of like a what is that it ends with Carl and Inez, the ex-wife, getting married again. It's like, well, that came out of nowhere. Well, it came out of one moment in one phone call in New Orleans. But besides just the love letter to food, they get the interaction between the kitchen staff correct. You know, where they're insulting each other and they're laughing about it while they're insulting back and forth, pushing each other just a little bit more.
Yeah.
It fits that kitchen experience that I've had over, you know, 12 years of kitchen work. So talk to me about your impressions here.
Well, I really enjoyed this movie. Mm-hmm. It was a good movie. Just the story was good. The way they framed the food and all the shots was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I will say there was more than just that one scene between him and his ex-wife, which led to them getting remarried. Because you see them in Miami. They go to see her father play. He's a musician. And they start dancing to try and encourage their son to enjoy it. And they seem to have they're having a good time together.
Okay. I can see that.
I mean, it was a very subtle buildup. Mm-hmm. With moments of, okay, I see what you did here. And then when they get back to LA, she's working in the food truck with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, they're slowly it becoming a unit again, not just, you know, we're in love with each other, but it's like, okay, the father and son have mended their kind of rift, whatever. She's now helping with his passion. So it just kind of, that to me seemed like a logical conclusion to where they were going. It wasn't the plot of the movie, but it was a nice little, okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay. I can get that. You know, I get so focused on his journey as a chef that I kind of ignore the journey of the relationships, but I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah. And I really like how they worked the son's passion for technology into all of this, because once they leave Miami, he starts a Twitter account for the food truck and he's tweeting out everything. Yeah. Hey, here we come. Chef Carl is back, blah, blah, blah. And by the time they get to New Orleans, they've got a line.
Carl takes his son to go get some beignets. It's like you can't get better beignets than the one they make fresh in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And so they go to get it. They get back and Martin. Percy's the son. Martin's the sous chef.
Martin's
just like, where have you been, man? I've been texting you. I was on silent. What? And you just see the line down the block. It's like, when did this happen?
Uh-huh.
And the kid's like, when we went to get the beignets. You did that in 2 minutes? Yeah. So...
I thought it was a little forced at one point. Like, they're getting to the end of their journey and he has to have the conversation with his son about, you know, school's going to start back up and we can't do this anymore. You know, that seemed a little forced to me, but I think it was just to get to the end where Percy, the son, has made a 1 second video of every day on the trip and edited it together. And he shows, you know, and he emails it to his dad, you know, it's like, hey, watch this. I'll send it again. And he finally does. And he has this epiphany of, I need my kid.
Right.
You know, I have to be with my kid, which I think goes more towards, you know, that was the final healing point between the two of them.
I think you're right on that. I really appreciate. So it, this movie is a solid see this movie from me. I love this film.
Oh, same here.
And it fits into that. After the spectacle that Jon Favreau was able to create in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? Because that's where I was introduced to him as a director, was back in like 2008, 2009, whenever the first Iron Man came out, right? And how big that was, and the special effects and the rapid fire communication, which is still here. And I think that's just part of his style, is that fast talking. But to eliminate pretty much anything that would be considered a special effect.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it just, you get the sense that this is actually something that's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels authentic in a way that some movies just don't. And I latch onto that.
Yeah.
And so
the only issue I had in terms of the pacing of the movie was when they're fixing up the truck.
Mm-hmm.
It made it feel like they did it in a day. And there's no way you could do that in a day. This truck was on its last legs. It was disgusting. Yeah. And then towards, you know, what would tantamount be lunchtime, John Leguizamo shows up. It's like, what'd you do? Catch a flight right after I called you? And he called him 5 minutes ago in the movie, you know, when he first got the truck. So they'd probably been working on that truck for a week straight before Martin showed up.
Yeah, the timing gets a little bit fuzzy
and there was, you know, all this, you know, the mom shows up with the kid and she says, well, I'll come back later and get him. And it doesn't look like they changed shirts at all. It's like, did they live there for that 2 weeks? What happened?
Yeah, it actually looks like it took, you know, it should have taken as much time to fix up that truck as it took them to get across the country.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it even looked like it took, what, one night to repaint the truck?
Oh, yeah. Now, that
to the point where
that I can see. if you've got that cousin.
Yeah, all right. All right. Yeah. I don't, but I know people who do have that cousin.
Yeah. It's like, that part was the most believable out of that entire time lapse. It's like, yeah, I can see that happening. But one guy and his kid cleaning and fixing up a food truck so that it's serviceable and runs is not going to happen in one day.
No. Especially not that one when the wheels are wobbling as he's driving it around.
Like you can do a lot on your own, but you need a mechanics shop to do some of those repairs.
So, if I just keep talking about it, I'm going to remove everyone else's interest from seeing it. So just go see it. I like it. I think Justin liked it. He said he did.
I did.
So go see it, and we'll let you pick next time, right?
You know, I think I've got, it's not going to be as delicious, but I've got something.
All right.